Welcome to Voicing Our Values, a series of podcasts about progressive message framing. This is the eighth segment entitled How to Talk About Government. I'm Bernie Horn, the Senior Director for Policy and Communications at the Public Leadership Institute, a nonpartisan nonprofit organization that seeks to help progressive lawmakers and advocates, particularly at the state and local levels of government. Please take some time to look around our website, www.publicleadershipinstitute.org. In addition to the Voicing Our Values messaging handbook, you'll find the Progressive Agenda, which contains hundreds of policy ideas and more than 150 model bills, as well as our handbook for policy advocates called Preparing to Win, and much more. Our last podcast, number 7, explained how to talk about environmental issues in a way that gets around the problem of confirmation bias, which is explained in podcast 1. To persuade, you need to understand your audience's preconceptions and where you share common ground. To avoid triggering negative emotional reactions and confirmation bias, you must start from a point of agreement and provide voters with a bridge from their preconceptions to your solutions. Along the way, show that your policies are consistent with values that they already hold dear and explain how they benefit. All this is designed to remind your listeners over and over again that you are on their side. The question now is, how do we apply this when talking about government? Sixty years ago, perhaps in part because of our government's success winning World War II, Americans were pretty pro-government. They tended to trust government and elected officials. With the Vietnam War and then Watergate, that trust diminished, especially among progressive Americans. For a long time, white conservatives continued to accept the idea of my country right or wrong. But things are different today. Conservatives lead the anti-government bandwagon based on their own 30-year-long propaganda campaign. It's gotten so bad that right-wingers apparently have no problem doing the unimaginable, supporting Vladimir Putin and the Russian oligarchs over America's law enforcement and intelligence agencies. So where do we go from here? Let's begin with a summary of the issue and then discuss timely examples. We told you in podcast 2 to begin any argument in agreement with your audience. But what does that mean when you're talking about the government? How about this? Our laws, rules, and programs should be enforced fairly and equally to ensure that everyone gets a fair shot, everyone gives their fair share, and everyone plays by the same rules. That is in agreement with virtually everyone. But you might say, hey, you're changing the question. You're not talking about what government is. You're talking about what it does. And my answer is exactly. And we'll get to that very soon, why I'm talking that way. So what are our progressive values when it comes to government? How about opportunity, equal opportunity, justice, fairness, fair share, and a level playing field. With that in mind, what's our progressive vision for government? And because of who we work with, let's specify we're talking about state and local government. How about something like this? The role of state and local governments should be to provide freedom, opportunity, and security for all. You've heard that one before, right? In its operations, the government must, 1, make and enforce fair rules that apply to everyone equally, no matter their wealth or political power. 2, ensure that government's own workers and contractors are paid and treated fairly. And 3, operate with transparency and the highest ethical standards. That's what we're trying to accomplish. As previously stated, conservatives have worked very hard to denigrate government, and to some extent they have been successful. Voters are quite cynical about Washington and the Congress. Yet, it's crucial to understand that polls show that citizens are far more positive about their state governments and appreciate local governments even more than the states. Further, even when people say they don't like government, they still like what government does. For example, when asked about federal spending programs individually, there's only one program that most Americans would cut, and that's aid to foreign countries. Voters do not want to cut federal spending on healthcare, environmental protection, energy, scientific research, infrastructure, education, or Social Security. And when asked if they have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of well-known federal agencies, Americans favor the FDA, OSHA, and the Consumer Product Safety Commission by margins of 2-1 or more. Even the Environmental Protection Agency, which has been the subject of unrelenting attack, is still favored 52-33. In short, when talking about government and its performance, avoid generalities and focus on the benefits of the government programs. So you don't want to say words like government, bureaucracy, Washington, unless you're trying to insult somebody. You want to say public safety and health, roads, schools, parks, libraries, consumer protection, environmental protection, fair treatment of workers, fair markets, fair trade. Why is that? Why that language? You want to stay away from government bureaucracy, and especially Washington, to avoid triggering negative stereotypes. And yet, don't hesitate to say rules, laws, and even regulation. Lake Research Partners performed 2 rounds of in-depth public opinion research to probe people's feelings about government rules, regulations, agencies, and enforcement. This research found that Americans want more enforcement of rules and regulations, not less. The problem people have with government enforcement is that they feel that the rules are not being applied fairly. They think the rich and powerful can get away with whatever they want, that the privileged class can break the rules without consequences. When asked, quote, "Do you think that increased enforcement of our national laws and regulations is a good thing or a bad thing?" citizens answered, "It's a good thing," by a margin of 71-14. State enforcement is even more popular than federal enforcement. It polls even better. And more than 2/3 complain that laws and regulations are not equally and fairly applied. That's the problem that people see. These findings do not only apply to enforcement of laws and regulations currently on the books, they can also justify new laws and regulations. Americans don't really know the difference between making laws and regulations stricter and having stricter enforcement of what's on the books. Here's why that's important. Lake Research gave respondents a choice between two narratives. The conservative narrative was this: protecting consumers is important, but government regulation has gone too far, so that some politicians seem to think government is the answer to every problem. Increased regulation, bureaucratic red tape, mandates, and even enforcement hold back economic growth and destroy jobs. America was built on the free market and free enterprise, forcing entrepreneurs, small business owners, and citizens to submit to arbitrary government regulations puts all the power in the hands of out-of-touch bureaucrats. It raises the cost of goods and services at a time when we can't afford higher prices. So that's the conservative narrative. It's an excellent description of the conservative narrative. Here's the progressive narrative that was compared to that. Proper enforcement of our laws and regulations can ensure that everyone plays by the same set of rules. Today, the system is too often rigged to favor the wealthy and powerful over ordinary Americans or big corporations over small businesses. That's an argument for better enforcement. Whether prohibiting big banks from destroying our economy, stopping the credit card industry from charging hidden fees, or preventing the wealthiest 1% from hiding billions of tax dollars in offshore tax havens. We need stronger, more just enforcement of our laws and regulations to ensure that everyone has a fair shot. Okay, so that's the progressive message. Given this choice, Americans agreed with the progressive narrative by a margin of 80 to 16. That is a landslide. It means that it's a powerful way to frame our arguments, and this progressive narrative promotes policies that could be accomplished either by new regulations or new statutes. Similarly, the best way to defend government action on any particular issue is to tell a little story that avoids the processes of government and focuses on the goals. Here are three examples. First, how would you talk about fracking, a common environmental issue that requires government action? Here is a narrative. We need to enforce the rules against water pollution to guarantee our drinking water is safe. There's plenty of evidence that fracking may be polluting our groundwater. Right now, companies engaged in fracking aren't even required to provide information to scientists so we can tell how dangerous it is. We need to require disclosure to protect our health and safeguard our quality of life. So many progressive advocates would want to start out with a large chunk of facts and figures, but that narrative didn't do that. What you want to do is to start, in this case, with enforcement, express values, and explain how it directly affects the listener. In this narrative, we never even mention the government. Here's another example, opposing tort reform. Our courts need to enforce the law fairly and equally. We cannot deny innocent people just and fair compensation for injuries, especially when they're taking on the most powerful interests. We need a level playing field. My opponent's policies would rig the system to shift the cost of injuries from a company that's at fault to the victim who is innocent. I'm going to fight for enforcement of law that provides equal justice for all. See how that narrative works? It's about fairness. It's not about government. And here is a third example. And this is just about fairness in general. Our laws must be fair to everyone. The fact is, my opponent's policies are not fair. They rig the system to benefit the rich over the rest of us. I will work to ensure that everyone gets a fair shot, everyone gives their fair share, and everyone plays by the same rules. In future podcasts, we'll show how to use our five basic rules of persuasion to debate many other issues. In the meantime, do us a favor and recommend the Voicing Our Values series of podcasts to your friends. Best to you.